All right, we're starting here on the two dots on the top of Daladam and Aleph. Gufa. Bayi Rav Bibi Barabai. He'd bake pot with tanur. In their day, when they baked bread, the way they baked the bread was that they plastered on the side of the walls of the tanur. Then they baked it in the tanur that way. So they placed it into the tanur. Hitiru lo lirdolta kodem shevodi de chiyuv chataat olo hitiru. Is he allowed to scrape it off from the walls of the tanur in order that he won't become chayav in a chataat or not chayav in a chataat? The problem here is, and we're going to have to discuss this more in detail in a minute, that cooking is a process. Whether it's ofer or bishul, it doesn't happen instantaneously. It happens over a period of time. One is not chayav just because you began the process of cooking. One is only chayav once they've accomplished the purpose of cooking, which is through a heat source to change the status of the item that you're trying to cook. That happens at some threshold. It's machloket rishonim exactly where that threshold is. But until you reach that threshold, you're not chayav in ofer, you're not chayav in bishul. So here you have a potential where the person puts it into action, and he can prevent it from ever getting to the point of bishul. But in order to do that, he has to be rodeh hapat. Rodeh hapat is not a melacha, it's a chokhmah ve'ina melacha, but it's an isur derabanan. The rabbanan said it's a sur to be rodeh the pat, which means to scrape it off the sides of the tanur on Shabbat. So I have a question here. Can I violate a isur derabanan in order to prevent myself from coming to an isur deoraita of ofeh? That's the way the question's posed. Okay, very good. So Shaul, the way Shaul is posing it is what Tosfot asks. It says, what's the difference? Why do we care what the Rabbanon say? The guy says, listen, I have a choice here. I'm going to violate the Rabbanon, or I'm going to violate Nisa Doraita. I don't really care what the Rabbanon say. I'm going to go scrape it off, so I won't be in violation of the Nisa Doraita. Why should I care what the Rabbanon say? So Tosfot asks that question. Why do we even care? Because the guy's not going to listen. He's just going to prevent himself from being over the Nisa Doraita. So Tosfot brings a principle, it's a very interesting principle. He says that if the Rabbonan lo hitiru, and they said you're not allowed to take it off, you would not be chayav in that case. When the Rabbonan take away your right to take it off, to be rodeit, they also suspend the punishment. So he brings other examples of that, b'makom karet. Hemidu Rabbonan divrein b'makom karet. When the Rabbonan put their position, like by Brit Milah, by Korban Pesach, certain things where we don't allow you to do it. When they do that, you will not be chayav karet. We can't say, don't do it, mi derabanan, and you are chayav karet. That we can't do. What we can say is that the rabbanan were maybe dvarim, and they suspended the karet as well. You won't be chayav karet, and you'll have to listen to rabbanan. That's what Tosfot says over here, basically addressing Shaul's question, does it really matter? And the answer is it does matter, because if the chachamim said you cannot take it off, that means you will not be chayav, and you won't have to do anything. If the chachamim did not institute that, then you would have to be rodeit in order to prevent yourself from violating the isur doraita. So now, the Gemara says, that's the question. There are a couple of issues to address here. We'll come back in a second and address them. So, Amalei Rav Acha Bar Abai LeRavina. Hey, Chidami. What's the case here? Ilema B'Shogeg. The question seems to be posed about a case of Shogeg, because he says, should we allow it to? Or if we don't allow it, it'll be Chayav Chatat. So the question of Chatat seems to indicate that it's a question of Shogeg. So, Maraz V'lo Yikar Lei, B'man Hei Tiru. If it's a Shogeg, Shogeg is premised on the fact that you don't know that you're doing the Malacha. If you don't know, who are we trying to allow to do the Isur over here? He doesn't know that he's doing something wrong. You have to know you're doing something wrong in order to have this question arise. So if we're talking about shogeg, there's no question. Ve'elav, di'ad or v'yikar. No, he put it on when he forgot, and then he remembers later. Oh, but that doesn't help us. Mimechayiv. In that case, you're not going to be chayiv v'chatat, v'atnan. Ve've mishnah, ko chayiv v'chatoto, enan chayivim achtei tchilatan shkaga, v'sofan shkaga. You have to be a shogeg from beginning to end, all the way from the beginning to the end. Now over here, again, because ofeh is a process, then even if you're a shogeg when you put the bread into the oven, that doesn't mean you're going to be a shogeg when the bread actually is baked, when it reaches the threshold of baking. If you remember before that, you're not a shogeg anymore. You become an equivalent to a mezid, and you're not going to be chayav achatat. So again, what's the question here? What are you trying to save over here? It's an interesting question only because when you remember, you're not going to be allowed to bring a chatat anymore. You're a shogeg. You're not a mezid, because when you placed it on, you didn't put it on purpose. So you're sitting somewhere between shogeg and mezid, which is you won't get skilar karet, and you won't bring a chatat. Still, you want to save yourself from that isur that sits between that shogeg and mezid. The Gemara seems to say, we're not worried about that. We're only worried about when there's either a chatat or there's a skilar, when there's something that's a real outcome from the situation. Ella, the mezid. So must be talking about here a case of mezid. Kodem she'avoli de'isur skila miboyle. Question here is not about a chatat, but about skila. Do we stop it before he's chayav skila, or not stop it before he has skila? Well, let's just work on that answer for a second. The problem here is, if it is a case of skila, that means b'mezid, he did it intentionally. How exactly did the hatra'ah work over here? That's part of the problem. How did you warn this person not to do the isur? You tell the person, don't do the isur bofeg as he's putting the bread into the oven. Well, you know what he could do? He could say, we don't know if it's ever going to bake this bread. He could rip the bread out before it ever reaches the point of baking.
How do you do atra'ah on ofeh?
Very good. That is the fundamental question. How do you do atra'ah on ofeh? So Tosfos says, based on this Gemara that says ofeh is a process and you scraped it off, it would stop you. Then you have a problem with atra'ah safek. So Tosfos gives two answers to the problem. He gives one possible answer is that once you put it in place, the maisa to make the ofeh happen is done. You would have to take an active position to take it out. So you've done the maisa. The maisa, as it stands, will end up in ofeh. So that's enough. That hatra is enough, and that doesn't leave you with safek. You'd have to be actively engaged to change it. So that won't be the case. Or, Tosfot says that, what is your mindset when you put it in there? It's for it to stay, to be ofeh. All right, later on, if you decide you want to change it afterwards, that doesn't change the fact that when you placed it in, you were intending for isur.
Doesn't that bore or something? I
mean, it does. As we talk, take more of the maisa, but that's what Tosfot says. The maisa placing it in there is enough to classify it as not hatra safek. So now, the question is this a paradigm? We're looking here at ofeh. Ofeh is a process, and we're saying that you can reverse the process, which is that if I start the process of ofeh, I can peel it off, and I can stop it. I can stop the violation of the isur. Well, there are other lachot that are like this. Zoreya, when you plant seeds, the Gemara says the minimum for seeds to take root is 3 days. That means that once you put the seed in, have you done the melacha of Zoreya, or have you not done the melacha of Zoreya until it takes root? So that would be the same question. What happens on Sunday? Somebody walks in and on Sunday takes out the seeds from the ground. Are you chayav from the melacha of Zoreya? There's a Rashash here on Daf Ayin Gimel. Those of you who have Gemaras that actually have the Rashash in the back. The Rashash on Daf Ayin Gimel talks about this question of Zoreya. He compares it to our case over here. He says, by the case of Hidbik Pat, he says, we say that you can rip it out beforehand. And that says that you are not Hayav. He says, the same should be true for Zoreya. Kevin Dayaday Zriato Atayisharesh Akarcha Chayav. Even though when you plant it in the ground, it will not take root immediately. But since afterwards it will happen, you're Hayav. Kamo Ofeh Vitzoleh. Even though the afiyah and the tzliyah don't happen immediately, they happen at a later time, you're still culpable for starting that process. So same thing by zriyah. Pine, and this is the key line here. Im lakat hazera kodem shenishrash. If he picks up the seeds before they root, nire de patur lemafreya. You are patur retroactively amasha zera. Kevan delo nitkaima machshavato. He intended for it to root, and you reversed that. You took out that process of it rooting. B'davar zeh yesh lo mod mi baya. De what? De resh mechilten de imrodeo kolim shnefa patur. So our case exactly, he says. Our case here of rodea pat. You put something into motion, and if you rodea, if you stop the process, you're not chayav, you're not culpable. And therefore, by zri'ah, the din should be the same. You put it into process, you're not chayav until it completes. L'mafreya, retroactively, you become chayav. So this is going to be an interesting concept. This is what Shaul also mentioned before. It's going to turn out that you'll have to wait till chol to know whether this guy is really chayav. I mean, that when he plants it, that's when the Easter, Maisa Easter was done. It will only be effective 3 days later, once we know that it's taken root, then retroactively it was chayav for it. But until it takes root, it's not that way. And if you pick up the seeds, you pull them out, there's no zriyah. That's a rashash. The Eglei Tal says, no way, no how. Eglei Tal disagrees. The Eglei Tal says that zriyah is different than ofeh. The zriyah, you're chayav from the moment you place it into the ground. What about all the facts that we know? There's no Tana that says, there's no Tana. We have machlokas and shas about Tana, how long his shrisha is. Well, to take root in Menachos, the Megaram Menachos, for Chodosh and Yoshan. How long does it take to take root? The minimum to take root is 3 days. Everybody agrees to that. Nobody disagrees that it takes 3 days to root. Very good. So it has to be a planting that's ra'ui lahashrish. That's exactly right. That's what the Eglei Tal says, that he brings a proof from the Michlas Chinuch by Kilayim. He brings a proof from the Yushalmi. That planting is simply the action of Zriyah. At the moment you're Zoreya, you're Chayav. That means if you picked it up 2 days later, you're still Chayav. Because at the moment you planted it, it had an ability to grow, to seed, and to root at that time. And that's enough to be chayav. The Maisa Yisr happens, and your chayav is Zriya. It's not like Ofe. He starts out, I don't know if I should compare Zriya to Ofe, and he rejects this comparison of the Rashash. He says, later on, I found now they print the Gemaras with the Rashash in it. And he says, I see this Rashash, and he disagrees with the Rashash's approach here. And the Rashash says that Zriya is like Ofe, but the Eglei Tal says that's not the case, and you have to distinguish between Zriya and Ofe. Zriya is the greatest case, because it's a case where you know for sure that there's going to be 3 days in the interim, and you know that. Right, so here you see, clearly everybody believes. So now, what's going to actually happen is that there's a difference in halacha. If one is Zoreya on Shabbat, even though the Hashrasha takes place on a Yom Chol, you saw the Rashash says that you're still Chayav, L'mafreya, the Maisa Yisr was on Shabbat, and for sure the Eglei Tal believes that the Zman HaZriya is when you're Chayav. But, what happens if you put bread into an oven right at the end of Shabbos? And then it doesn't bake until after Shabbos. According to everyone here, you're not going to be chayav. Because here it's clear that you can prevent the afiyah from happening, and you're not chayav until the actual threshold of afiyah has passed. And so based on that, if you put the bread into the oven right before the end of Shabbos, you would not be chayav according to everyone. Because ofeh, everyone agrees you're not in violation until you reach the point of afiyah. So that's a big difference here between afiyah and zriyah. So now the Gemara says, now we offer an alternative. So now we've turned, the Gemara turned to Mezid, the case of Mezid. So Amar Rav Shila, Le'olam, Bishogeg. It's a case of Shogeg. Ulamane tiru acherim. Now we introduce a new possibility, which is that it was really Shogeg. He didn't remember. Someone else realizes what's going on. They see that there is a bread baking here, and they can intervene to stop it. Do we say to another person, you violate an Isur in order to prevent your friend from violating a bigger Isur? We're asking you to actively violate an Isur de Rabbanon to save your friend from an Isur de Oraita, Isur min haTorah. Do we ever allow that? Tosu says, sure we do. We have all these cases. So Tosu brings all these cases where we do. So Tazwat says, first of all, it's a question, and brings a case from Erevin, by a chover that gives to an Am Haaretz items that are tevel, and then he's afraid he's going to eat it without taking off Chumot HaMaserot. So we allow you to violate the Nisur Derabanan of Mukaf in order to take off the Chumot HaMaserot to prevent him from violating Nisur. So there, Tazwat says, there's a big difference. Over there, you caused the problem. You put the Am Haaretz into a position where there's a problem. So over there, the question is very different. We're asking, do you violate an Isur to protect him? But it's because you put him in the position where he'll be in chance of violating the Isur. Then Tosfos brings other cases, the one that we just had in Brachot, the case of Meshachrer Abdo. Are you allowed to free your slave in order to make the minyan? Are you allowed to do that? So the Gemara there says, Mitzvah Derabim Shaini. So there are exceptions to this rule where there's an overarching principle, which we say, Mitzvah Derabim, Mitzvah Piri Rivya, that's also another big one over here, where you're the one, the cause of the problem. So all of these are exceptions to the rule. But over here, you weren't involved at all. You're not involved at all. And now we're asking you to take a Maisa B'yadayim in order to prevent something that will happen memeila, that will happen without any intervention now. So there the Gemara says, we have a question. It's a case here, we're back to Mezid. So that's the original assumption that we had. We're talking about Mezid. Rav Acha Brei Derova Matni Lo Behedya. He had it this way openly. Now, the way our Gemara has the gear says Amar Rabibi Bar Abaye. Tosfos brings there was another gear said Bai Rabibi Bar Abaye. So it's a question whether this is a statement from Rabibi Bar Abaye or Bai Rabibi Bar Abaye, which is the original question that was asked. But the question was just framed in this way, which is Hidbig Pat Betanori Tirlo Der Doto Kolim Shavu Dei Isur Skila. Although that would be if you have the gear said Baye. If you don't have the gear said Baye, it means it's a statement. Hidbig Pat Betanori Tirlo Der Doto Kolim Shavu Dei Isur Skila. You're allowed. The person's allowed. The individual put it in there.
We say that.
No. This is the individual himself. It's a case of Mezid. No, another person will not be allowed to intervene here. But the person himself could intervene to prevent the Isur Skila, to prevent himself from getting to the Isur Skila, correct. But the rule stands that you cannot, we don't allow you to violate an Isur to protect your friend. Alright, so now Gemara is back to our Mishnah. So the case here is that we have some sort of object that's moving from the Ani to the Balabait. And either it ends up in the hand of the Ani, or it ends up in the hand of the Balabait, leaves the hand of the Ani, leaves the hand of the Balabait. The Gemara poses a question, but it doesn't have any source, which is something interesting here. It says, am I chayav? Why are you chayav? You need a place that's dalet tvachim al dalet tvachim in order for it to be akira v'anacha. Gemara brings no proof to that. The Gemara just assumes that that's the case. Where is the Gemara know this from? They don't bring a braita, they don't bring any source for this information that you have to have a mokum dalet al dalet. So Tosfot already raises the issue and he says, maybe it's because the source. It's like the Mishkan, and the way it works in the Mishkan, that you don't normally put down an object. When you want to store an object, you put something down, you put it on a mokum, that's dalet by dalet. That's the normal way of doing things. So Mistoma in the Mishkan, that's the way it was. And remember, well, we said this before, that Hotzah is a Malacha Gerua. And being a Malacha Gerua requires that it has to have a paradigm within the Mishkan, otherwise you're not Chayav. So again, if in the Mishkan it was done this way, that's exactly the way it's going to have to be done. That's the Vandal Badal. That's the Rabbeinu Tam. The Ri has an interesting approach. He says, we learn, Ayitzei Ish Mimkomo B'Yom HaShabbat. Now, truthfully, the pasuk there is speaking about the individual themselves. It's not talking about the chayfetz. But the Gemara darshins on that pasuk, al yotzi ish mimkomo, that you're not allowed to move chafatzim mimkoman on Yom HaShabbat. It's an asmachta. The Ri says, just like mikomo by Adam is determined to be dalet amot or dalet amot, mikomo for a chayfetz is dalet tvachim or dalet tvachim. You see what they're trying to do is they're trying to search for some sort of source for the why. The Gemara just poses it as like a given, that's the question. But the Gemara never gives a source for that point. Later on, we're going to see a brayta that Achirim and Maro's daf, that sounds like that there is a brayta that suggests something of that sort. But still, the Gemara just, it's a given, that dalet al dalet, and now the Gemara is going to try to work through this. How do I deal with this problem of dalet al dalet? So here we have, Amai chayav abin en akira banachal megami dalet al dalet veleko, samarabo hamani. Who's the author of this Mishnah? Rabbi Akiva. Damar lo bein makom arba al arba. I don't need a place that's four tfachim by four tfachim. Remember always, if it's in the male conjugation, arba al arba, it's tfachim. If it's in the female conjugation, then it's amot. That's how you know the difference. Right, dal al dal makes it much harder. That's why it's difficult when they did that. It makes it much harder. Tetnan. Hazarek mishut yachid, rishut yachid, rishut rabim b'emtza. So you have a private domain on one side, private domain on the other side, and Rishut Rabbim in the middle. And the person throws an object from one Rishut Yachid to another Rishut Yachid. They have a ball on one side, and they need to play ball on the other side. They throw the ball across the Rishut Rabbim on Shabbat. What's the din? Rabbi Akiva, Michayev, Chachamim, Pochim. Why is Rabbi Akiva Michayev? Rabbi Akiva Savar, Aminan, Kluta, Kamisha, Hunchadamya. This is a physics question. How do you look at an object in motion? An object in motion is a continuum, or is it discrete starts and stops along that continuum? So Rabbi Akiva says, it's klutu gemishu unchadamyo, that when I see the object moving, I see discrete points happening along the way. So what's happened basically is it's left the Rishut Yachid, stopped in the Rishut Rabim, gone, stopped, gone. I mean, every momentary movement is a start and a stop, So Rabbanan Savre, lo amrin in klutu mekluto mishu unchadamyo. The Yochamim believe that it's a continuum. There is no such thing as discrete points. It's a continuous movement. And therefore, there's an Akira from Rishut Yachid, Hanocha and Rishut Yachid, you're not Chayav. So that's why you're Patur. So Le Memra. So then this you would conclude, the Pshitale the Rabbo, that it's clear to Rabbo, the Bekluto Mishun Chadamio, that the argument here between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim about this case is on this matter of Kluto Mishun Chadamio, Ubeto Chasara. Like Ari just said before, it has to be below 10 Tfachim. Below 10 Tfachim, because the Rishut Rabim is only Rishut Rabim up to 10 Tfachim. Rishut Yachid, a private domain, goes up ad the Rakia and ad the Tahom. But when it comes to Rishut Rabim, it only goes up to 10 Tfachim. So the object had to fly through the Rishut Rabim here below 10 Tfachim in order for this question to be relevant. So the case that must be that Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim are arguing about is a case below 10 Tfachim in the Rishut Rabim. And the question of whether it's a discrete points or is it a continuum over here? The Gemara says, V'hami bayi lay the Rabbo. Rabbo actually questioned what the machloket here was between them. How could Rabbo over here suggest it's Rabbi Akiva clearly, and that's the situation, it's Kluto Mishun Chadamya. Rabbo himself doesn't know what the Machloket is about, the Bai Rabbo. The Matam Yud Plige, or is the argument between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim here, below 10 Tfachim, Uba Plige, and this is their Machloket, Rabbi Akiva, Sarah, Kluto Mishun Chadamya, that we look at it as discrete movements, and therefore there's an Akira and Anacha. It was above 10 Tfachim, Divya Kol Patur. Everybody agree above 10 Tfachim, you're Patur. Why? Because even according to Rabbi Kiva, who says that it's discrete movement, if it's above 10 Tfachim, it never went into the Rishut Rabim. It's in a Makom Tur. And therefore, you'll never be Chayav. And nobody learns out throwing from passing. Now, this is going to become relevant later in the Masechta, but it turns out that on Shabbat, if you pass an object across the Rishut Rabim, from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Yachid across the Rishut Rabim, you're Chayav. Even above 10 Tfachim. If you have a balcony on one side of Rishut Rabim, balcony on the other side of Rishut Rabim, and you pass, not throw, pass an object across, Chayav Chatat. Why? Because they did it in the Mishkan. Oh, why do you have to do it in the Mishkan? That's a Toldah. We said before, by Kotzah, if it's not in the Mishkan, it's not classified. So that's in the Mishkan, because they used to pass the boards from the Agalot to the Agalot. The wagons that carried the boards, they passed the Krashim. How do you know they didn't throw the Krashim? So two possibilities. Either they're too heavy. They're 10 amot high. They're very heavy. Or they're too precious. You throw them and you drop it. You don't want to break one of these things. So they pass them across from one agalat to the other. Agalat that's above, it's an tefachim, that moshit is considered to be chayav. The question is now zarak, if you throw it. So later on, the Gemara is going to ask, that's going to be the other tzad here. The other possibility is zorek the same as moshit? Do we say throwing it is the equivalent of passing it? It's just a different way of passing. Instead of passing from yad to yad, you just pass it with a little air in between them. Maybe it's the same thing. So now the assumption will be that kuliyama lo yofin and zorek mimushit. Everybody agrees, zrika and hoshata passing are totally different. Oh, the other way to explain the machloket between Rabbi Kiva and Chachamim is this way. Dilma lamala miyud plige. Their whole machloket is above 10 tefachim. Ubaha plige, and this is their machloket. The Rabbi Kiva sarva yofin and zorek mimushit. We learn out Zorek from Moshit. Throwing is the equivalent to passing. Just like when you pass above 10 tefachim from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Yachid, you're chayav. So to when you throw it. Throwing it is just an extension of passing. Rabbanan Tzavrei, lo yalfin and Zorek mi Moshit. Rabbanan say, no. Zrika is totally different than Moshit. You can't compare the two. Aval damata miyud, below 10 tefachim, divyako chayav. Everybody agree you chayav, my tama. Amrina, kluto, kemisha, unchodamya. Everybody agrees, below 10 tefachim, it's as if it's moving two discrete points. Everybody is you chayav. We know that Rabba doesn't know what their machloket is about. All of a sudden now, he says, oh, it's Rabbi Akiva over here. Well, how does he know it's Rabbi Akiva? His question that he poses about their machloket says it doesn't have to be Rabbi Akiva, it could be the Rabbana. How does he know that? So Gemara says, no problem. Halukasha, batari, baye, harifter, ifshitale. He had the question, but then he concluded. He says that the conclusion is the Sav Rabbi Kiva Klutlo Kamisha Unchodamyo. That is it. That's the machlok between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim is on this point, whether it's considered to be a continuum or a discrete point, and it's Lamata Miyud, below 10 Tefachim, that's what their machlokit is about.
First,
right. And that's where Rabbi Kiva will be the author of our Mishnah now, because it's Klutlo Kamisha Unchodamyo, and he doesn't require, obviously, Dalet al Dalet. Because it's moving through the air, and we don't see him anywhere saying anything about stopping on a place that's Dalet by Dalet. It's flying through the air the whole time. So do you see there? Rabbi Kiva does not require a Makom Dalet al Dalet. So he'll be the author of Mishnah who doesn't require a Makom Dalet al Dalet. Now Tosfot asked on himself. Tosfot said before that Hotza is a Malacha Grua. If it's a Malacha Grua, there are no Toldot of Hotza. Over here, we're creating Zorek Kimoshit. How can it be that you're trying to compare Zrika to Hoshata? That means you're trying to create a Tolda. Something that wasn't in the Mishkan, and you're trying to extrapolate from that to a Toldah. We don't have Toldot Batzua. So Tosfot has to say here that Zorek to be to the extrapolation from Moshit Zorek, from Moshit to Zorek is not as big as regular Toldot. I mean, it's so similar that it's really just Moshit plus.
Although there's one of the Tzadim is...
Right, one of the Tzadim is no. He's saying that if you say yes, you have to say that the Shrika is close enough to Hoshata, that it's not like Toldah, it's just an extension of Hoshata. That's what you have to suggest over here. So now the Gemara says something interesting. V'dilma, hanachahu delo bayi, hayikiri abayi. There are two parts to the Moach Avotza, remember. You have to pick it up, right? It has to be lifted out of a place of, and then placed down. Now, in both those, you're going to require a kira from Makom Dalet Dalet, and a ha from Makom Dalet Dalet. From Rabbi Akiva, what do we know? Rabbi Akiva only told us about one of those two, and that is hanacha. Because Rabbi Akiva says, you're chayav how many times? You threw it v'shut yachid to v'shut rabim to v'shut yachid. Now you did, hotza'ah, and then hachnasa. But Rabbi Akiva says only chayav one. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, it's clear from Rabbi Akiva that the only thing he doesn't care about is hanacha b'makom dalet al dalet. About akirami b'makom dalet al dalet, sounds like he does care. Because he only makes you chayav when it left the Rishut HaYachid and ended up in the Rishut HaRabim. But the fact that it goes to the Rishut HaRabim and then lands in the Rishut HaYachid, it doesn't make you chayav. Why not? Maybe because he requires akira mimakom dalet al dalet. Then he can't be the author of our Mishnah. That won't help us anymore because we need both akira and hanacha b'makom dalet al dalet. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosafot does not like that explanation. He says that can't be the way. Yasha, dilma hadalom mechayev bet, mishum to mechayev atoldo b'makom av. Ha'utza'a is the av. The tolda is hachnasa. And we know later on in the Masechta, the Gemara says, what's the difference between an av and a tolda? The difference between an av and a tolda is that two avot, you'll be chayav on each one of them a chatat. A tolda and an av, you only be chayav one chatat, because toldo b'makom av, you're not chayav. So Tosafot says, you know why Rabbi Akiva says you're chayav one here? Not because he believes anything about akira and archa. It's because you can't, there's an av and a tolda. You can only be chayav one chatat. That's why he says you're chayav one. There's no proof from here that he thinks anything about akira. So he says, again, that can't be the explanation. That's the way the malacha was done in the Mishkan. When they gave the materials to the Osei Malacha, they took it out of the storage bins, which were 4x4, and gave it to them. And therefore, that is akira mimakom dalet al dalet. Hanacha b'makom dalet al dalet, we don't find that. Where do you find that in Melechet HaMishkan? Where we said before that we said the source for a dalet al dalet is al yetze ish mimkomo. Al yotzi ish mimkomo means don't take chafatzim out of its makom. Again, that's only talking about akira, not about hanacha. So Tosfot says, I only have a source for the akira side. I don't have a source here for the hanacha side. And that's what the Gemara's question is here. Rabbi Kiva says chayav. We don't know whether Rabbi Kiva believes that akira doesn't require dalet al dalet. We only know from Rabbi Kiva is that hanacha doesn't require dalet al dalet. Because of all the sources. There's no way to know that from here. So, Ella Amar Rav Yosef Hamani Rabbi. It's Rabbi. So, Mar says, hi, Rabbi. Where did you find Rabbi that says this? Ileimah, hi, Rabbi. This Rabbi, the Tanya. Zarak. Venach, agave, ziz. Koshu. Rabbi Mechayev. Chamin Putrim. You throw something from the Rishut Rabbim, then it lands on a projectile, something coming out of the wall. Then you're Chayav, Rabbi says, Chamin Putrim. So, Mar says, wait a minute. Underlying assumption of the Gemara right now is that it landed on a ziz, which is something koshu. It's a very small thing. And Rabbi Yisrael is telling you chayav, even though it landed on a place that's not dalet al dalet. So it's clear here that Rabbi thinks that anacha al gabi dalet dalet is not a requirement. And we're going to assume, just like by anacha, no, akira also no. The Gemara says, no, wait a minute. Hatam ki debayla meimer lekaman. This is one of the interesting things in the Gemara self-references itself. It says, we're going to explain this later in the Masechta. How do you know what's going on? Later on in the Masechta, right? The assumption in the Gemara is that you always know everything in the Gemara in order where you are now. Right? It's all circular in that way. So hatam ki debayla meimer, we're going to have to kida abaye. As Abai explains it, Damar Abai, Hocha bi'ilan, homemade b'shuta yachid, v'nofo notel reshut rabim. You have an ilan sitting in the reshut yachid, and its branches go out to the reshut rabim. V'zarak, menach, anofo. And it lands on the branches of the tree. The Rebbe Savar, Mreinim, shtei nofo batari ikaro. That you send the branches after the trunk. Rabbanan Tzavi, lo amrinim, shtei nofo batari ikaro. We don't send the branches after the ikar. What is the difference? Machrochot Rashi and Tosfot. Rashi says something amazing here. Rashi says that Rebbe thinks it's landing. It's moving 4 amot in Rishut Rabim and landing in Rishut Rabim. The trunk gives chashivu to the branch that's sitting in Rishut Rabim that is classified as Rishut Rabim. It's hanging over to the Rishut Rabim, and the trunk gives the branch a sense of chashivut of, as if it's Daud al Daud. It's as if you moved it in Rishut Rabim. Also says, what? When we say that Shadei Nofo Batar Yikaro means that we give the branches the status of the trunk. Where's the trunk? The trunk's in Rishut Yachid. So he moved from Rishut Rabim to Rishut Yachid. So Tosfos explains the case here that he moved it from Rishut Rabim to Rishut Yachid, and that's the case. Rashi says he moved it 4 amot in Rishut Rabim, and it landed on something that's dalet al dalet, because the branch is given dalet al dalet by the fact that it's attached to the trunk, even though it's
more than 10 tefachim. The branch has got to be.
The branch has got to be between 3 and 10 tefachim. It has to be above 3 and below 10. Just that's a side issue. We'll get to that later in the Gemara. But here we're talking about the ikar, which is the factor, the trunk's the major factor here. The trunk's in Rishut Yachid, and based on that, there's a machloket Rashi and Tosfot, what exactly happened over here. So that can't be the here, because that's a different explanation about what the machloket is. Ella, ha, Rabbi. This Rabbi is what he is, the Tanya. Zarak mirshut rabim nirshut rabim v'rshut yachid be'emtza. So it's the opposite case. You're in public domain to public domain, and you pass through Rishut Yachid. You throw between them. Rabbi Mechayev v'chamim potrim. Rabbi's Mechayev there and v'chamim potrim. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmo Mechayev aya Rabbi Shtayim. Rabbi's Mechayev two here. So he says, Acha Mishum Otzah v'cha Mishum Hachnasa. Rabbi says, you're Chayev two. It passed from Rishut Rabim into the Rishut Yachid, and then from the Rishut Yachid out to the Rishut Rabim. Now you're going to be Chayev two. Ama lo bayakira v'lo anacha gavei makom daladat. It's clear here that Rabbi doesn't require both akira or anacha al dalet al dalet, because he's allowing you to have a isra otza'ah as well as an isra achnasa. The otza'ah means there was an akira from a place that wasn't dalet al dalet, but pushing it from the Rishut Rabim into the Rishut Yachid is also problematic. So here we have Rabbi who says, and he'll be the author of Mishnah. The Gemara again says, Haitmar law, we already defined this. The Rabbi Shmuel Dami, Tavayo lo mechayev Rabbi, elo Rishut Yachid mikura. As Rishut Yachid, that is, got a roof on it. Damrina beta command the malyo damyo. The house as if it is filled up. So that's Rashi says. You look at Rashi. Kiman demali damya dover satum mikol tzad havi kimalei chafetzim ad gago. It's as if it's filled with objects until its roof. Dein aviro chashiv avir. Its airspace is not real airspace. The question is not klutu kamishun chadamya anymore. It's as if you have a solid object there. It's as if it bounced onto a solid object, left that solid object, and moved on. That's the way Rashi explains it here. Rashi later on in the Masechta on Daf Tzadi Zayin, when he explains what Pura is on Daf Tzadi Zayin, he says something different. It's very interesting over there. Rashi and Daf Tzadi Zayin says about Mikure, says, Kaman Damali, when the house is in its full, Mitoch Shu Choshech Umalei Havla. It's dark and filled with Hevel. Hevel is a term that's used in Baba Kama and other places to reference the stale air inside of these locations. So Rashi says, because it's dark and it has this still air in it, it's as if it's filled. And it's like as if it's a solid object. So that's very different. Rashi here creates a as-if situation that it's filled with objects. And because it's if filled with objects, it's as if it hit a solid object, then left a solid object. And later on, it's at Zion, he says that the fact that it's dark and still, that makes it as if it's solid. You don't have to do any as if. Just to note here that Rashi is different the way he explains it here as he does later on in the Masechta. But based on that, the Gemara says, Kamanim al dadamio, then, aval she'eni mekure, but if it wasn't covered, then lo. And then the Gemara says, V'chi teim al chanami, our case in our Mishnah, but case v'mekure. Why not? We can come up with a case of mekure. The Baal HaBayit is sitting in his house. So he says, well, we'll get to where it's hot on echitini achmeshut yachid. That works for the Baal HaBayit side where he's in the house. Pshut Rabim Mekure Mimi Chayav. If the Pshut Rabim has a roof over it, who says you're Chayav? I'm a Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, I'm a Rabbi Ava, I'm a Rav Huna, I'm a Rav. I'm a Vir Chayfetz, Dalet Amot, Pshut Rabim Mekure Patur. That if you move something in Dalet Amot and Pshut Rabim that has a roof, the fish ain't no domel, the Digle Amidbar. Again, coming back to Otsah. If Otsah is not like it was done in the Midbar, it's not a Malacha anymore. So over here, if you have a roofed area in the Pshut Rabim, that is not classified as being a melacha for Shabbos because that's not the way it was done in the Midbar. Since that's not the way it was done in the Midbar, then you can't be chayav on Shabbat. All right, we'll stop over here. We're going to have another suggestion for Abizera now, but that continues on. We're a little bit more into the daf.